So, Berto, I was recently looking on iTunes and looking at all of our reviews for the podcast.
Yeah.
You know, how people can review you on iTunes. And it's been a while since I've looked. You know, the last time I looked was probably a year ago or something.
Okay.
And all of our reviews were 5-star reviews. And
wow.
They were all like really nice. Everyone was being super
all
cool.
All from me and my fake accounts.
Exactly. Berto's the best. More Berto, please. I have a fever and the only cure is more Berto.
And they were all like Colombian 6ix9ine.
Colombian 70. Colombian 71. And so when I looked at it recently, a couple days ago, I saw there are a lot more 1-star reviews than there used to be.
What?
Yeah.
Oh God. Yeah. Polarizing.
I mean, there's a lot more reviews in general. There's a, you know, a lot
polarizing.
Of a lot of 5-star reviews, but so I thought we would just read all the 1-star reviews.
That sounds fascinating.
This is the Psychology in Seattle podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kirk Honda. I'm a therapist, professor, and someone who is developing thicker skin by the moment.
My name is Humberto Castañeda, and I forage for rare truffles.
So this first one is by Tennessee Lamb, and it gives the country, the U.S., just someone wrote this review not too long ago, and they said, condescending much? And I just love that. I just love that because... You get the
of
irony.
Of course.
Yeah. Condescending much? Wow. Came here to listen to some tips or direction regarding marriage or couples therapy. And they use couples with an apostrophe.
Yeah.
So couples therapy, like
therapy that belongs to the couples.
Right. Like Dan's bike, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, that's an apostrophe. Maybe check out the Grammar Girl podcast.
Wait. Hold on, they just got it wrong.
Well, but let me continue. Instead, I heard you guys talk about how people had the wrong name for this type of therapy. So So what is your response to that?
So far, we've gone into two different topics right off the bat in like one sentence.
Right.
So the condescending, I thought we were going to dive into the condescension.
Right.
Then we got into grammatical discussions.
Right.
And it sounds like they're pretty upset about this.
Right. And
like the naming, the nomenclature is pissing them off.
Right. And they're wrong.
Yeah.
I'll try not to be condescending. I'll try just
which to means to talk down to.
I'll try just to say, that's interesting. Condescend. Is that what it means? Like I'm with you. I'm looking down on you.
To your level.
Oh, interesting.
No, but listen, this person, let's not make fun of them. Let's just talk at their level.
Yeah. Really, really low.
Slow it down.
So the history of the term, and there's no way anyone would know this. And I actually tried to Google this topic and I didn't find a single source in the internet that explained the reality of this, is that back in the day, they used to call it marital counseling or marriage therapy.
Okay.
And because the assumption was all couples were married.
Right.
And why would you be counseling a couple that wasn't married?
You better not spend too long as a couple that's not married.
Right.
Because then the sin stuff.
Right. So my field and my degree is called marriage and family therapy.
Right.
And the reason for that is because that's where we come from. And we retain that because we have a hard time changing our terms. 20, 30 years ago, there was this big movement in our field to not call ourselves marriage and family therapists, but to call ourselves couple and family therapists because we wanted to acknowledge, one, non-married couples, and two, gay people who couldn't get married.
Not couple apostrophe S and family therapists?
No, just couple. The reason why it was called couple and family therapy or couple therapy was because you have family therapy, not families therapy.
Family apostrophe S.
Right. You have individual therapy, not individuals therapy. You have group therapy, not groups therapy. And you have couple therapy. You will therapize a couple. You will therapize a family.
Once you do it, the therapy belongs to that couple.
Right, exactly. The apostrophe thing is just bizarre. I don't even know where that comes from. But so over time, I would say in the last 5 years, really, people have been repeatedly start referring to it as couples therapy.
Okay.
And the first, I don't know, number of times I heard this, it would drive me nuts, and I would correct people. I'd be, no, it's couple therapy, not couples therapy. But as with like the word literally has been morphing its meaning over the last...
People literally use it for anything now.
Right.
They literally use it in every sentence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so they... And, you know, we just have to accept that language changes over time. And although it's upsetting to have to change our definitions, right. It happens. And one of the
like
things...
Like YOLO.
Yeah. And one of the things that's happening is the acceptance of the term and even the preference of the term couples therapy.
I see.
And so I've given in. I've started to call it couples therapy. The problem is that my program is called the Couple and Family Therapy Program. But people are starting to refer to us as the Couples and Family Therapy Program. And that's a problem because...
So you treat multiple couples, but only one family.
Right, exactly. So that's why there's some confusion around that. But we've definitely never called it couples with an apostrophe therapy.
The therapy that
doesn't make any sense. But anyway, yeah. So it's condescending much? Wow. Came here to listen to some tips or direction regarding marriage or couples therapy with an apostrophe. Yes, that's an apostrophe. Maybe check out the Grammar Girl podcast. Instead, I heard you guys talk about how people had the wrong name for this type of therapy. Okay, interesting. Then they go on to say, doesn't encourage me to visit either of you or this podcast again. So I think this person's targeting you, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I'm very condescending.
Thanks for letting us lay people know, in quotes, lay people. Thanks for letting us lay people know what it's like when two psychologists get together.
I've been upgraded to psychology.
Two psychologists get together to talk about their stupid patients.
Wait, this must have been some other psychologist, because I have no patience for this patient.
Well, so there's a lot of issues here. If I have come across as condescending, that's terrible, one. Two, if I have come across as if I'm talking about quote-unquote stupid patients, that is one of the most immoral things I can possibly think of doing, even if it was unintentional. And so, and I have done that at times. I don't think this person has heard that episode.
So this might have been an episode that you did with someone else, maybe, like,
yeah, it could be
Rebecca or something.
Right. So that's one thing about reading these one-star reviews is, from my impression, they listen to
one
episode or one part of an episode, you know?
Right.
Because why would they listen to 50 episodes and then leave a one-star review?
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean? So who knows?
It's like going to the restaurant, you eat the whole meal, order two desserts, and at the end, this was terrible.
Or you go there 50 times.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So it's really interesting. It'd be really interesting to find out, well, which episode are you talking about? But anyway, the other thing here is they seem to be hurt by the term lay people.
Yeah,
is that an insulting term?
Certainly insulting to me.
But is it reasonable for someone to be insulted by that term in our culture?
A narcissist?
Yeah. I mean,
it's very simple. If this podcast, if like you're doing a podcast and you're a physicist and you're talking to another physicist and you say, you know, for the lay person who's not into physics, blah, 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 yeah. And I'm not a physicist, should I be offended that I've been called a lay person?
Right. Yeah, by definition, we're all lay people to
any number of billion things.
To almost everything except for one thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So if this person is in the field, then they're not a lay person.
Right. But I think they are a lay person. I'm not sure. Yeah. But anyway, so that's that person. All right. Justice Scosh, United States of America, left this one. Very disappointing. As a psychotherapist in a nearby country, I was anxious to hear this podcast. The speaker was warm and comfortable to hear.
Oh, nice.
Unfortunately, I listened to a half an hour of an episode, and then it was over, and there was a pitch to join their club to get to hear the rest of their podcast.
The club.
No thanks. Very disappointing.
Wait. They're upset because we have a club?
Well... So, you know, I do episodes where...
Sure, but there's a billion other episodes that are...
Right. So this person listened to one episode. And honestly, I get it. I mean, if I was going to check out a podcast and I didn't know their deal, and I just, you know, downloaded one episode.
Yeah.
And I'm listening and I'm like, ooh, this is an interesting topic. And then all of a sudden, and then
I see it cuts off.
Joint, I purposely say 99% of the content of this episode is behind the firewall, you know, behind the paywall.
Yeah. And you say that up front.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like you. But
sometimes I talk for a good half an hour before I get into it. And honestly, in those episodes, I feel like I'm doing people a favor because I'm giving content in that half an hour. It's not like the whole time I'm like, wait until afterwards.
At 9, we have a crazy story about how you can survive tonight.
Right. But honestly, I get it. Like, I would say most of the 1-star reviews are people referring to this thing. And I totally get that. I don't think it's fair to give the whole podcast a one-star review, but I understand that you're upset. I mean,
sure.
I also understand that people don't really understand how monetization works for podcasts. And I've talked about this before, but I'll say it again for anyone who's interested. I've been trying to monetize this. I've been trying to make money off of this podcast since I started it 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I have tried lots of different things. I have tried asking for donations and not having a paywall. I've tried putting advertisements. I've tried setting up continuing education credit units for listening to the podcast, which I thought that would be gangbusters, but hardly anyone actually signed up for that. I've tried so many things, and I love this podcast. And up until the point when we started making money because of the paywall, there were times when I was like, you know what? This is so time consuming and so emotionally taxing that I don't think I can go on. I mean, there's a reason why there aren't that many podcasts like my podcast, you know? It's because people don't have the time for it.
Right.
They don't have the energy and they don't want to go through the fucking hassle of providing a free service to the world to be attacked on YouTube, you know? It's like, so
we're highly entitled as a society. You know what I mean? Like, we feel entitled.
Right. Well, because of things like YouTube where there's just, and podcasts that are, the vast majority are completely free. And most don't even have commercials. You know, most people are just, they're just volunteering their time. And yeah, if you have a comedy podcast and you're just joking around, great. But I am providing a professional service. Like, not in this episode, of course, because we're just, you know, joking around but when I could very easily, and I thought about this too, make these podcasts into classes that people have to pay for online,
right?
And actually, you know, make money off of it. But I don't want to be so narrow like that. I want to make a podcast for everybody, at least access to everybody.
Yeah.
And so when I was given a listener suggested that we use Patreon. And when they told me about it, at first I was like, that seems kind of weird.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I'll try it. Just as I had tried literally 400 other, options.
Literally a million other.
It literally blew my mind how many things I had used. And I just love that one. It literally blew my mind.
It literally took his head off.
Yeah. And so... So I tried Patreon and I thought, well, how about I make some episodes that are only for patrons?
Right.
Just as, cause Patreon, they walk you through a tutorial. They're like, you need to give something to your patrons that regular people can't get.
Otherwise, why am I paying you?
Right. Why am I signing up?
I mean, other than maybe I'm just supporting the cause, which is great.
Right. But you should have like early access or something like that. And so, So I decided to make, you know, one out of every 20 episodes or something are for patrons only. And
what a jerk.
And I felt bad about it. You know, I felt like, man, this kind of sucks because I want every episode to be available to everyone.
Sure.
I'm trying to advocate for certain things. This feels bad to me. But guess what happened? People started signing up.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, maybe if I stop doing premium episodes, people will sign up anyway. That doesn't happen.
No.
at least not at the rate it needs to.
Yeah.
If I don't make every like I, when I made the narcissistic personality disorder deep dive, guess what? Numbers shot up.
Yeah, of course.
Lots of new patrons. Now, I'm not saying these are, you know, like fly-by-night fans. Maybe it sort of was that catalyst that pushed them over the edge.
Sure.
I don't know. But all I can tell you is that like I haven't made a significant patron-only episode since the narcissistic episode.
Right.
And we've plateaued.
Right.
So
you have to have that premium. Like, but it's so obvious.
Right. So I feel bad about it, and I wish I didn't have to do that. I wish I could just say, donate money, whatever you feel like it's worth it to you. That's what I used to do. And guess what happened? Very few people donated money, like extremely infrequent. Like we're talking like $50 a year.
So, you know, the patrons of the Renaissance artists, they wouldn't get anything specific for them, right?
Right.
Like they weren't making artwork specifically for their desires, right?
Right. To me, this is similar to... You are a restaurant owner and you're just giving out free hamburgers on the street to anyone who walks by. And then every once in a while, you have like a really great hamburger and you charge for that hamburger.
Right.
That is what's happening here. Okay.
Well, it's even worse. So, you know, you walk into Whole Foods and they have those little free samples of like, oh, here, try this enchilada casserole, try this thing. And you walk around, you're eating it for free. Like, wow, this is delicious food. So then you grab a cart full of food and you go to the counter and then you try to walk out with it. And they're like, oh, well, you got to pay for that. You're like, what?
Right.
You guys suck. I'm giving you a one star.
Right. And so, you know, there are a lot of other podcasts out there that they do everything for free. But honestly, the information or the entertainment that they're providing can be easily replaced by another podcast. The things, how many podcasts do you know are doing 9 hours on narcissism?
No. Listen, this is what I don't get. Like in the 90s, the whole video game industry was based out of the shareware model. Do you remember? You would get the first three levels, the first couple levels for free.
Huh.
And if you paid, you got the rest of the game.
Right.
It worked brilliantly.
Right.
Because you got a little bit for free. And if that's all you wanted, no worries.
And if you didn't like the first three levels, then...
Don't buy the freaking game.
Right. So, but I get it. I get that if someone tuned into this podcast and they got cut off, I could imagine that. I could imagine that feeling kind of bad. And I'm guessing for some people, it's a combination of feeling bad and enticing enough that they actually sign up on Patreon and they're like, "Okay, bastard, I'll sign up on Patreon."
I'll give you a one star.
Yeah, and again, just to put a fine point on it that I haven't yet is if I. Did not make the money that I do, if we, actually, Berto and I both make money from this, and 98% of the funds come through Patreon, I couldn't do this. But before we started, you know, making money through Patreon, I would make an episode, you know, two or three times a month.
Right.
And those episodes were not very good. Like they were fun for me
because
I would have you and Mandy over you and a few other people and we would just kind of joke around.
Yeah.
And I find those episodes to be super fun, but they're not particularly informative.
Right.
They're entertaining to some people, I'm guessing, but they're not, you know, the narcissistic personality disorder episode, I worked on that thing for months.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be able to do that because...
That is high quality content.
And... I logistically could not do it because I would have to be working my jobs. You know, practically speaking, as I make more money from the podcast, I can cut back on hours in my practice, which is mainly where I have.
Because you can trade one for the other.
Right. Yeah. I'm not homeless because of the paywall.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
I get to make the podcast and not be homeless because of the paywall. Anyway, but I get it. I get that it sucks, and I wish there was another way. And, you know,
so
they're just, and another, anyway,
I don't care as much. Like, toughen up.
Yes.
So leave us a one star review. So what?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah. A cook 2348 from the US wrote, Dr. Honda is a nice guy and the banter between Honda and Umberto is enjoyable.
Oh, shut up. Just kidding.
However, he lost me a bit on the Alex Jones episode.
Oh.
His contention that fans of Jones are perfectly harmless is missing the mark. Did I say
Did
that?
Did I say that? Did you say that?
Well,
I certainly, it probably wasn't me.
No. But did I...
That
did
fans of Jones are harmless.
Perfectly harmless.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I think we would have deep dived on that statement because I probably would have argued a lot about that.
Yeah. Now,
that's funny.
Do I frequently...
You're trying to be empathetic as usual, I'm sure.
Right. Did I have my thesis that fanatics that we disagree with aren't to be as feared as we often make them out to be, as a group, I could see myself doing something like that. But absolutely, I mean, one of Alex Jones' fans...
Shut up the pizza gate.
Shut up
place.
A pizza gate because of Alex Jones.
Yeah, and just because they were having a pedophile ring.
Yeah. So, and there are people who... Yeah, there's all sorts of terrible things. But I don't... I don't put it past me to give the impression that it's that him and his people are harmless. I could see that. I could see someone hearing me and having a problem with that. That's fine. Saying that Jones is similar to presidential candidates or Martin Luther King in the way he speaks is just uninformed.
Wait, what?
Well, so in the episode of about Alex Jones, I was talking about how Alex Jones uses similar oration skills, oratory skills, that MLK might use, or a presidential candidate, or Trump, or Hitler, or...
I wouldn't say all of the above, but certainly, like, there's tons of candidates that say... And use the same affectation, use the same style, and say just as bad or worse things.
Right.
Maybe they're not spouting out as many conspiracies left and right, but...
Right. I guarantee you in the episode about Alex Jones, I never said that his ideas were as good as Martin Luther King's. And so if I said anything, I would have said something like...
it's just a common oration style where you're animated and you're making big points and emphasizing them.
Yeah. And so I think that's not such a valid criticism. But this is a criticism I have of people who listen to the podcast and email me about this sort of thing. Unless I come out 1,000,000,000% against whomever, people will attack me. Because I'm not 1,000,000,000% against everything that they've ever said or done or been, or, you know, unless I use extremely grandiose hatred.
Black and white. We got to be black and white.
It's like, I can't have nuance to things. Plus, that's not a nuanced statement. I'm saying that, you know, he has oratory skills. Big fucking deal. He obviously has some sort of skill to engage an audience.
Yeah.
Because he has an audience.
Well, the other thing that is interesting, and I'm probably guilty of this too, but all of the ones you've read so far, I think, are very narrow complaints.
Right.
But they're leaving a global review.
Right.
That's interesting because, I mean, that happens, I guess, just in general. You go to a restaurant, you have one bad meal, and you left a bad review.
Right.
That is how it works.
Yeah.
But it is different when you watch a movie. So when you watch a movie, you've seen all of it.
Right.
So when you say that the movie sucked, okay, you saw the whole movie. You really didn't like it.
Right.
But it's interesting when you have 700-plus episodes.
Yeah.
And you watch one or part of one, and you get really pissed off, and you're like, this whole thing? Is a one star.
Right. So it's clear this guy hates Alex Jones.
Yeah.
And tuned into that episode and then...
You didn't hate him enough or didn't make it clear that you hate him or whatever.
Right. Actually, they must listen to more episodes because they go on to say, also, a lot of the coverage of psychodynamic-oriented therapy is lacking critical thinking and too accepting of techniques that may not be supported by research.
Okay. That's an interesting turn of events.
Yeah.
Because now all of a sudden they dove deep into something that actually matters.
Right. Sure. You know, I'm biased for psychodynamic therapy, one. And you could make an argument that I don't critically attack psychodynamic therapy enough. At the same time, I often provide research that supports the evidence-based psychodynamic technique. Psychodynamic therapy, interpersonal therapy, is supported by science. But a lot of people, even in my field, claim that it's not evidence-based. But guess what? They often are cognitive behavioral therapists who are looking for resources and they don't like competition. So
this commenter sounds a bit of a genius to me, because I wonder if they knew, hey, I bet you one day they're going to do an episode about these low ratings. And I'm going to put in a comment where at first it sounds like I'm just picking on one thing, and I know Barrow's going to jump all over it. And then I'm going to go smack.
They go on to say, would like to see less sweeping generalizations in the show. For example, all clinicians do this.
Like the one I just made.
All clinicians do that. I could see how things I say, especially if you didn't agree with them or you felt attacked by it, that it would seem like a sweeping, unfair generalization. I mean, one of the things I notice that I do, and it's just an attitude I have, is that I tend to remember a lot of other clinicians and colleagues who provide what I believe to be very dubious points of view. Mm-hmm. And because I find them to be so troublesome that I lie awake at night thinking about those messages in the world. Messages like never laugh when your client laughs.
Right. You mentioned that one before.
Yeah. And I don't focus on the reality of the situation, which is most of my colleagues and the people I know actually provide sound advice that I would totally get behind.
This one's especially ironic because I remember many, many episodes ago, you had really emphasized bell curves for things. You know, like, hey, that's a population. So there's extremes and so you can't say all, because you corrected me on something I said. You know, like I said all, and I totally agreed. I'm like, you're right. Some percentage of people do this. Some percentage of people do that. So I wonder if you have some areas where your biases get the best of you.
Totally. And I one of the ones that I have criticized myself for is overgeneralizing about other therapists and how stupid they can be. You know what I mean? I just get so upset that clients are being harmed, and also trainees are being harmed by bad trainers, that I get hot under the collar and I start sort of overblowing the issue, probably.
Right.
Especially, I don't have the data, so it's like I could be right, but I could be wrong. I mean, I probably am wrong. And then they end with fun show, but can't be taken too seriously.
But that's a one star?
Yeah.
No. Come on. That's not fair.
Yeah.
Fun show, but can't be taken. That's a one star review.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Let's take a break. When we get back, let's continue with the rest of them. What do you say, bro?
Let's do it.
All right. We're back from the break. Now I'm going to bug you for the next 5 minutes.
Don't talk about patrons.
Yeah. To become a patron of the podcast. When you become a patron of the podcast, you get to feel superior to others who are jerks for not becoming patrons.
All the lay people.
Also, buy my book, which is called Multi-Role Clinical Supervision. I, after publishing it, found 5 typos in the first chapter alone, which is bizarre because me and 3 other editors, some of whom I paid, had pored over the entire manuscript and found no typos, or at least found the ones and corrected them. But somehow there were 5 left typos in the first chapter. I have corrected for them and published a new version. So all those typos are gone.
Were you missing an apostrophe in couples?
Yeah. Also, like our Facebook page and play our Tuesday Tougher Bluff game, which are always fun. Join the Facebook fan group and interact with Berto and April and famous patron Lyndon and other people. Also, tweet Berto at PsychoBerto, Psych0Berto. Also, if you want a lot of archive, and all of our episodes are on our website, so we have fun pictures and videos and everything. So go to our website and check us out there. I thought we would thank some of our very first patrons. I think we've done this before, but I think it's really fun to just look at those very early patrons from 3 years ago. In fact, it's exactly 3 years ago we started the Patreon thing. Zoe from Great Britain.
Hi, Zoe.
We have M from California. From
M?
From, yeah, just M.
Oh, like M&M?
Oh, I think Mike. I think Mike from, oh, okay, from Durham, California. We have, Juan, Dr. Wong.
Dr. Wong.
We have Kristen from Boston.
Kristen, whoop, whoop.
Michelle from Apollo, Pennsylvania. So these are all people who became a patron exactly 3 years ago.
Wow, that's a long time.
Alessandro from, I'm not sure, I think, is Alessandro?
Alessandro. Yeah. That sounds Italian.
Yeah. We have Elvin from Western Australia.
Oh, the put another shrimp on the Barbie place. Or is that the men down under?
Actually, Elvin, your credit card, I just noticed, has been declined. So you must have changed your...
Are you shaming everyone?
Yeah, you must have changed. You must have, you know, lost your card. So go to Patreon, update your dealie there. Melanie from Porcupine, Ontario.
Porcupine, Ontario.
What a great town.
That's prickly.
We have someone that's just calling themselves Me, which I'm guessing that's not their real name. And
it could be.
It looks like Czechoslovakia. CH. Would that be Czechoslovakia?
Yeah.
Cooper from Georgia, from Kennesaw, Georgia. Oh, I hope you're doing okay, Cooper, with the hurricane.
Oh my gosh, is that hitting Georgia too? Like all that region?
I thought
North Carolina, right?
Yeah, but I think they're all
Florence.
In danger, right? Cooper has a picture of himself there, good looking guy. Britain from
did you hear that?
Los Angeles.
Did you hear? Sorry, Britain. My bad. I didn't mean to.
And Britain, your credit card needs to be updated too. What were you going to say?
They had passed a law preventing, in North Carolina, preventing them using climate change assumptions about the potential level increases in water for urban planning. They couldn't, by law, use those assumptions so that for things like how to better engineer or where not to allow building or how to route things. That none of that. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I find it so fascinating that politicians and constituents who hate nanny states can have a policy where you can't say a scientifically proven
the nanny
notion.
State can't let you
like I would understand, like, on some level I would get if they disagreed or they thought
right.
It was fake news or fake science or disputable science or something, but it's another thing to make it policy or law that you can't say a certain thing,
right?
I mean,
you cannot bring that up in the policy discussions about what to do about the city.
Right.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is like, what, how do you benefit from that? That's the bizarre thing.
Well, so in this case, it would have cost them, let's say it would have cost them $100 billion over N number of years to adjust the urban planning. Well, the estimates are that it could cost $180 billion in damages right now because of the water, the risk of the water flooding and all these kinds of things. And so it's just a short-sighted decision, you know?
Yeah, but it boggles the mind. It's like, I just don't understand. I mean, the only people, there's very few people who really benefit from this push to deny it, and it's people who own stock in the oil business.
And it's just a short-term gain. Like, it's it's bizarre.
Yeah, I understand the capitalists of oil companies being interested in it, for sure. Of course they're going to be upset about this sort of stuff. But I don't understand the populace having attitudes of like, it's not happening or politically it's problematic. This isn't a political opinion.
Yeah, especially the things that it leads to, like, why shouldn't we be able to deforest the nation? Why shouldn't we be allowed to, like, you know, like, drain all the fish or kill all the fishes in a river or depopulate the ocean of coral? Why shouldn't we?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that would make more sense to me because of certain values on, I don't know, fish or forests or something, misunderstandings. But like, the water level rising is just going to happen.
Yeah.
And so many problems are going to happen, and we have to start planning for that. It's a done deal. You know, 15 years ago, I sort of get it because it was just the beginning of the rising of the temperature that you could make the argument, well, maybe, you know, maybe it'll just... It's such a clear trend. I mean, these glaciers are gone.
Right.
The water is rising. The average temperature of the oceans are decidedly warmer and accelerating. I mean, that's the fucking terrible thing. Is like the estimates that the scientists had.
Right.
You know, they gave a range, and it's like higher than average in terms of the range. Like it's looking worse than what we thought it was going to be.
Yeah, than the bad estimates that we thought. You know, it's just terrible.
And I mean, I'm culpable too. I'm driving a car, so I'm you know, it's not just the politicians that are in denial and doing terrible things.
Yeah, but
I just wish we had leadership that would be rational and caring about all of us. I mean, Donald Trump is going to suffer from rising oceans. Some of his properties are going to flood or be destroyed. Like, we are all going to, or the economy is going to completely disintegrate, and no one, even the capitalists, are going to make any money. This whole thing is going to be a problem, and I just don't get that you would hold on to this political point of view that for so long.
Right. Well, and even to the point where it's not just that it's not going to happen. The feeling is that, oh, you're only saying this because certain people are making so much money about this. You know, Al Gore, Soros, Hillary, all these people are making money is flooding in to their coffers out of this hysteria.
Okay, maybe.
Which
cares?
Is not. Which is not.
Who cares? But even if it was, that doesn't change anything.
Well, no, because their point is like, it's all fake and it's just to make the money.
Yeah, it's all fake.
Yeah.
All right, next.
This is why these one-star reviews don't bother me, because we have bigger fish to fry.
We'll all be dead. Lily8080 from the U.S. writes, would be excellent if he would not continuously veer off topic.
Did you plan this like this? Oh my God, that's awesome.
Which would not be as annoying if he would remember that not all listeners have seen the movies he talks and talks about.
Oh, wait. Oh my gosh, this is great. This is so many twists and turns. Yeah. First of all, it couldn't have been better timed. Second, I thought she was talking about, because we're talking about a serious topic like narcissism, and all of a sudden we start talking about if the Beatles really crossed the road that day on purpose or whatever. But instead, she's talking about movie episodes?
Well, yeah, so...
But she's saying that she might not have seen the movie.
Right.
So then why does it matter if we veered off topic?
Right, which would not be as annoying if he would remember that not all listeners have seen the movies he talks and talks about.
Oh, maybe we were talking about a serious topic and then started talking about movies like Clockwork Orange or something.
Oh, okay.
You see, like we were sitting here in the depths of, so then family therapy, does one use an apostrophe or not? And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, that reminds me of Good Will Hunting.
Yeah. So here's another. By not giving an overview prior to a 20-minute discussion about it without hesitation, start talking about other movies he's reminded of by way of director or what have you. Yet again, sticking with it and waiting for some explanation of the movie and listening to him go on and on about his opinions gets so annoying. It makes me want to unsubscribe.
Unsubscribe. Like, not unpatron, just unsubscribe.
Unsubscribe.
Oh, okay.
But I don't, because I've heard other shows that I really enjoy.
Oh, okay.
I will say, however, he will use terms that the average Joe not in the field are not familiar with, and he does not always explain them. It's very annoying.
Wow, but this is all warranting of a one star.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry if I use terms that...
This was a hilarious...
That people don't understand, and I'm actually... It annoys me when people don't define.
It was
terms.
A fortuitous thing that just happened.
And I'm also I'm deeply sorry for veering off topic. I do it all the time. Umberto and I do.
Are
it
we
all the
sorry?
Time.
I'm not sorry.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean,
every podcast I listen to, every YouTube channel that I love,
which bothers me sometimes, you know, like
it does.
Yeah, like I mean, sometimes, right? Like I listen to TBTL.
Okay,
that's a local podcast and. They veer off topic all the time. It's part of their whole shtick.
Yeah,
and
like Joe Rogan.
And I like
veer
it.
Off topic all the time.
Right, I like it, you know, because they go in interesting directions. I don't really care. And, you know, some people who listen to this podcast will tell us that. They're like, oh, I love it when you go off topic and you, you know, self-disclose, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I mean, I could see someone being like, I
came here to listen about The Wizard of Oz.
And now you're talking about, you know,
the Pink Floyd, the freaking Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah, I get that. And, you know, and I'm sorry. But and honestly, I'll edit out whole sections after the recording where I'm like, that was way too off topic.
Yeah.
So I have an eye on that. Plus, as we're doing the podcast, I will. I have notes in front of me to keep me on track,
right.
And it does annoy me when and it's particularly problematic with other guests who don't really understand how to follow my lead or that sort of thing.
Well, but she's she.
I don't know
this person.
Lily.
This person is referring to. I actually think, you know, when we do movie reviews. You a lot of times talk about who the director is and then mention all the movies they've done. And then we do often have tangents into some of those movies.
Right.
But my feeling is that that's part of the analysis of that movie.
Right. And I'm just such a movie nerd
right.
that I just want to do that. And I totally, I get it.
And
know?
Actually, this is fine. So they don't like that style.
Right. And I get it. You
but
know?
One star, because they said they enjoyed other episodes.
Right, yeah.
Not even a half a star more, like 1.5.
Here's another one. Makes psychology sound like pseudoscience. Very shallow, opinionated take on big concepts with a lack of any real scientific backing or evidence. All of his arguments revolve around weak anecdotal evidence and what he feels. There's better psychology podcasts out there. Don't waste your time.
Nice.
I'd be really curious about what they are referring to. I'm guessing it was one episode and they disagreed with...
Yeah,
what I was saying, and they didn't like that. And yeah, their statement that there are better psychology podcasts out there, sure.
That's like your you know. Opinion, man.
Yeah, I get it. I wish they would say what episode they're referring to because I might actually totally agree and be like, yeah, that episode was a disaster. But I don't think you have to be so mean about it. I mean, it's a you know free service. You didn't pay hundreds of dollars. You know, you listened to a thing and it wasn't to your liking. Okay, used to be about wellness and psychology. Now it's about perpetuating a liberal agenda.
Oh, spoken like a true commie.
was a decent podcast until Dr. Kirk decided to swim into politics.
Wait, that's ironic because. I'm always the one trying to drag us into the political mess, and you're always the one being like, hey, we're all people too. Can't we all just get along?
Well, that, and I will overtly edit out or nip in the bud conversations that are partisan.
Yeah.
And I have guests who are regular guests on this podcast who will pressure me to talk about politics. I mean, early on in this podcast, like 9 years ago, you were like, we need to talk about this, this part of what I would call a partisan topic, you know, like I don't consider global warming to be a partisan topic. It's made into
part sad that it is, but
it gets made into a partisan topic, but, partisan topics, like whether or not you like Donald Trump or not is a partisan topic.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, And I have urges to dip into politics and what I would consider partisan topics. But if you did not agree, if you're not liberal, for example, if you're Republican, I apologize. I mean, I try to limit it, but because this, I want this to be a safe place for everyone to listen to the topics that I know a lot about, and I really want to talk about. I don't want this to trigger Republicans, and that's not my goal. You know, like,
well, but I mean, like, this is where I disagree with you, and I'm not going to get into that. But the reason I disagree is because honestly, if you have a podcast where you're saying that, like, you know, women need to be treated fairly and that there needs to be, you know, more gay rights and that we need to be sensitive to trans people and stuff, guess what? You're going to piss off a lot of people on the right.
Right. And so for those topics, I will don't consider them to be partisan. I consider them to be or maybe I'm thinking of a different word here. I consider them to be non-debatable.
Yeah, you would think so.
and so I don't care if they're partisan.
Right, right, right.
It's a moral stance.
Right.
Lots of topics in the political discourse, I, as an observer of it, those are too partisan.
Like, we haven't talked about taxes or the tariffs or whatever, you know?
Yeah. But at the same time, I want this podcast, like I said, to be, you know, if you hate gay people and you hate any talk that allows for gay rights and for gay people to be treated fairly, and you therefore hate this podcast, then okay, you're welcome to your hatred and your horribleness. if you like Donald Trump and you voted for him, and you think that his voting or his veto or his, you know, his influence on business or whatever is a good thing, I don't want this podcast to be a place where you feel like you're being attacked or something like that. So because honestly, I don't think it's right for you to feel attacked by anybody. For I don't feel like anyone who voted for Donald Trump for the reasons that they did, you know, should feel attacked by me anyway, and my podcast. So, and I know we have conservatives in other countries as well, and Trump has nothing to do with it. In Australia, you know, there's conservative people.
Didn't we start this? When we started this, had Obama just come into office?
Yep. Actually, okay. He was running. He was running for office when we started.
Okay.
So George W. was president. Okay. Okay. So, there's that. All right. Next person. Love this podcast. I have listened to each one as they have come out and they're all very interesting.
This is not a one-star review.
It is. However,
what?
When Dr.
Oh
Kirk,
my God.
When Dr. Kirk has Umberto on with him.
Oh, nice.
I avoid those due to the lack of insight or input he adds to the podcast.
Oh my gosh, I was waiting. I couldn't believe you were saving the best.
And why does he randomly say a different occupation every time?
wait. That I don't get.
I get he's trying to be funny, but it seems a bit redundant.
I say the same occupation every time. I don't get it. Oh well. You can't win them all. So this is great. So they, because I'm like, how could this person give us a one-star rating? Here I am single-handedly responsible for the one-star review. Like, she loved, or they love everything about this podcast. All the episodes, amazing, except when Umberto is on. What could I do to, like, make it even more clear that I am here to damage the podcast?
Nine Rubies from the United States writes in, "This was unbearably dry. The speaker has great dictation, but his voice drops at the end of his sentences." I agree. I have a problem with that. I edit this, the audio of this, of every podcast. And one of the things you become extremely aware of when you are an audio editor is people's volume levels. And because when you're talking with someone in a room, you can actually vary your volume quite a bit and still be heard because one, you have a lot of nonverbals and context and everything. Plus, there's just something about a room that helps to facilitate the hearing. Like I could whisper very quietly and you'd still hear me.
Yeah.
But when it comes to audio that is being pushed through a earbud in your ear, it has to be a very narrow range of amplitude. And I absolutely understand it. And one of the problems that I have is I have a speaking style where I will start my sentences extremely loudly.
Uh-huh.
And then as I trail off to the end of my sentence, I very quickly, and it's progressive. I just get quieter and quieter and quieter. And then the next sentence begins. And you look at the waveform. And it looks like that. My sentences, it depends on the topic. Like if it's you and me talking, I don't do that because, I don't know, it's a certain animation to you and me talking.
Yeah.
But if I'm just by myself and I'm lecturing about something, that's what I do. And I agree. I don't think that says I need to get a 1-star review because I go through and I compress the entire audio so that, everything is brought down to the level of me talking quietly.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
For you audio people out there, you'll know.
For you lay people out there.
Yeah.
So, but enough about you. I want to know why I bring the podcast down so much.
M. Warrior writes in, United States of America, unorganized and painful. Sounds like most episodes are improvised and without focus. The host routinely sounds cynical. Hard to believe he's a therapist.
Whoa.
Also has too many commercials.
Right, let's take a break.
improvised and without focus. I mean, for sure, some episodes. But when I actually sit down, and really even episodes that it's you and me talking about a topic, I have pages of notes.
Yeah.
And I really try to stay organized. And it is painful when I listen to podcasts that are unorganized, you know?
This might just be a variant of that we dive into rat holes.
Yeah.
It could be.
And again, I'm wondering, was it one episode that was particularly unorganized?
That is a really good point. So some of these, like the one that's like, I've heard them all, and then there's this one complaint, like Beardo or something. but some of these could very well be, I heard it once, never again.
Right, because I agree with some of this criticism. Like my voice will drop at the end of sentences. Plus, if you just don't like Umberto, that's fine. But I would really disagree that this podcast is generally unorganized.
Right.
You know, I don't know. Maybe not organized in the way you like it. I don't know.
That could be.
The host routinely sounds cynical. What do you think they mean by that? Cynical? Like, I'm upset at things, or
that is interesting because it's not, maybe I wonder if they're trying to use a different word.
Yeah,
because the implication would be that you just don't really like buy into what you're even talking about or something. You know, you're jaded.
Jaded is the
word.
You
don't believe in psychology really.
Yeah.
And
hard to believe he's a therapist. You know,
so. I wonder if it was maybe one of the evolutionary psychology ones.
Yeah, I don't know. And then has too many commercials. Yeah, I get that. I can absolutely see how the commercials would be bothersome. I've actually reduced the amount of commercials. I don't know if you notice this, people out there, but I've gotten rid of all the commercials, or at least as many as I can, from the beginning of the episodes.
Mm.
By the way, if you're a patron, you don't have to listen to the commercials. But because honestly, as I've been saying earlier, we get some revenue from commercials, but not that much. And so it's like, well, if we're not getting that much money from commercials, it's like I really do try to limit them.
Yeah.
I try to limit the annoyance
of pain.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the way where I put the commercials are usually about 20 to 30 minutes in, there'll be a commercial break and there'll be like two commercials that you'll listen to if you're not a patron. And then I put two commercials at the end.
Yeah.
And so, I listen to podcasts and all the good ones I listen to have commercials.
Yeah.
And I either endure it or I fast forward through it. JD Salad Fingers, which is funny, writes from the U.S., ugh, no. stammering, not thoughtful, talking over each other.
Wait, what?
Stammering, not thoughtful, talking over each other.
Wow.
Okay. You know,
that's it?
Yeah. One star. Okay, well. One star.
No.
DB24577754326 writes from the United States of America. I really like this podcast.
What?
I think Dr. Kirk has some solid presentations, a very relatable personality, and his sense of humor is wonderful. The bait and switch nature of asking for donations comes across a little lame, especially since there are commercials and we all have plenty of other podcasts to listen to about the same subjects.
Wait, this is... Because for a second there, I got my hopes up that this was another... Like, everything's great except Berto. Instead, this one is the worst because, like, they love the podcast.
Yeah.
They just don't like that we ask for help.
Yeah. Finally, the female sidekick he has on...
I'm not female anymore.
...doesn't resonate with me at all. Admittedly, she adds some charm and humor, but it's surface level, and there really isn't a lot of depth in her input that I've heard so far. It seems more situational as a means to draw in like a rock and roll hipster 20-something crowd.
Does my voice sound female? Is that the problem?
Yeah, I don't know who they're talking about, but yeah, okay. You know, you don't like all the co-hosts. That's fine. And I'm sorry that I do the Patreon thing. I genuinely
sorry, not sorry.
I empathize for sure, but it's the only way this is going to work, and it's the only way that I can provide people with what they want. Honestly,
like, here's the reason I'm being very unempathetic to a lot of these. And, you know, again, I'm guilty of reviews like this, I'm sure. But you want to get on and you want to say, like, hey, here's the deal. I like this. I like that. But can you stop doing the following behaviors? Right? I'm going to listen. I'm going to be like, okay, maybe, maybe not. But it's like constructive criticism. Yeah. Many of these, not maybe all of them, but many of these are just like, hey, it's just your taste. You just don't like this thing. Right? But the ones that puzzle me the most are the... I really like this, but you asked for money.
Right.
It's like, well, that should be the one that like you're fine with because you liked it.
Right. And the episodes in which I put a paywall are pretty few.
Yeah.
I mean, arguably they're the best episodes, but I will disseminate lots of free information, you know, and I like to. All right. Ben Sando from Australia writes, Landmark Forum critique.
Oh, here we go.
Here's a crazy idea. Do the forum before you critique it. It's like reviewing a film without seeing it, or a restaurant without eating there, or diagnosing a patient you haven't met.
Well, hold on, Mr. Bucko. Like, I can go to a restaurant, sit down, order an appetizer and a drink, and then I'm thinking about the dinner. The appetizer comes, I eat it, I immediately get food poisoning, I take a sip of the drink, and I puke my guts out. I'm not going to stay for the rest of the meal.
Right. We routinely get this critique because there are a lot of Landmark Forum zealots out there. And there are plenty of Landmark Forum people who understand the critique. To be clear, for people who don't remember the episode, in that episode, we both talked about how we both went to Landmark. So I don't understand why they say we didn't go. And maybe... they misunderstood what we were saying, but you went
I
to
actually went,
but you, not only to one of the actual days, but you've been to other events. And so have I. I've been to several events and I've talked to many people in it. The other thing is that in that episode, I laid out the very possible benefit of Landmark Forum and I tied it to, you know, sound therapeutic humanistic ideas and pointed out that, for many people, it I'm sure works and know it works because I've heard, I mean, Lita, one of the founders of the podcast, loved Landmark Forum for right. many years and got tremendous benefit from it. So in that episode, I absolutely, you know, said that because why wouldn't I? Because that's reality. We also talked about how there are complaints about Landmark from people and you had complaints about Landmark. I mean, you went and got something out of it.
Hey,
but
you know what?
But you also had a problem with some of their practices. We also didn't generalize to all of Landmark. We said
right.
you know, there are isolated things that happen that are happening in the group that you went to.
I've got a solution for us here. How about this? You cannot leave a one-star review on a podcast unless you listen to all 700-plus episodes. You got it?
Yeah.
We're in agreement then.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to go through a whole 10, 20 years of Landmark before I can review it.
Yeah.
You got to listen to all our episodes.
And it's interesting because these people, because I probably get an email like this once a day, and there are so many Landmark zealots out there. And there are plenty of people who actually really appreciate the episode too. They're just like, thank you for confirming what I felt, or, you know, my cousin was a total zealot and like roped me into going and I hated it and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's a thing. It's a very specific product and it has particular, qualities to it that, can be good and bad. But the thing is these people, when they attack, that episode,
yeah,
they never attack my points.
Right, right.
They never attack like...
Right, it's like, you didn't do it all, so that's why you can't...
Yeah, yeah. They never say how I was wrong.
Right.
They just say, you have no right to talk about it because you haven't gone through it.
In fact, the ones that I've seen, because you forwarded me some, that actually say, hey, you know, I enjoy this, or this was valuable, or just something not so negative, they do point out some things. Like, well, I did get this value out of it, or I did get this. Mm-hmm. So it's funny, the ones that point out the counter examples are not this negative.
Right. And I would absolutely contend and talked about that in the fucking episode when right. we talked about Landmark Forum.
Yeah.
When you critique something, it is not an attack. You are critiquing it. When you are reading, when you go to a movie, you know, it's the same. It'd be the same thing if I saw a movie and I was like, you know what? I give it a 7 out of 10. I really liked it, but there were some things I didn't like about it. And then people are like, how dare you? It's just like, look, there's good and bad things about Landmark Forum.
Well, what if we went to a movie and halfway through, we're both at the movie, and halfway through we look at each other, it's like, this is terrible, and we leave. Well, now we can't review it?
Right.
Or here. So let's say we did an episode about the freaking Manson family murders, right? Like, someone writes, you were not in the Manson family murders or murdered by them, so you have no right to, like, talk about them, right?
Yeah.
This is the thing. So, ultimately, I actually don't empathize with the position that because you didn't do N, you can't talk about it, right? But I do empathize with the position of, hey, I got value, so I disagree with you or I disagree with your conclusions.
Well, I don't see how they... They can't disagree with my conclusions because I concluded it works for some people. So that's my point. It's like you can't say I disagree with you. I had a good time.
Sure.
That's not disagreeing with me because I said some people get tremendous value out of it. If you hand yourself over to Landmark and you're into it, and particularly if you're have a leader who really gels with you or other people who really gel with you, yeah, and you surrender yourself to the process, it's going to be a
they're probably
powerful
reacting
process.
A lot to me then because I was pretty negative about it.
I guess, yeah. But I just again, it's my general problem with people having problem with gray areas, and to me, it's not even really a gray area. It's just acknowledging reality that anything you're going to have different reactions to it. Some people like Landmark Forum, some people don't. Big fucking deal. And we talked about it. And somehow, it never fails. I always find out where the cults are. Cult meaning the cult following that the zealots. I did a random episode, one out of, 750 episodes on Milton Erickson. And I found out, I did not know this, there is a zealot cult around Milton Erickson. Because in that episode, I critiqued him. And yeah. I, for the most part, I talked about how I follow Milton Erickson's ideas and how right. I really appreciate. And then I provided some critique, which I do to anybody, to Freud, to Jung, to Adler, to Mitchell, to, everyone has, to Irvin Yalom, I'll give a critique of. Everyone, to myself, I'll critique myself. But this notion of like, unless you're 100% into something, you're wrong. And it's like, you're not even in the right paradigm here, buddy. Like, yeah. Milton Erickson himself probably didn't think he was all that great.
Right.
Landmark Forum, I'm guessing the people who run it, if you talk to them, they'd be like, yeah, it's not for everybody. Give it, don't attack people for critiquing us. Like, we don't want you to do that. We're not fucking Scientology. You know what I mean? Okay. Sunflower Texas from the United States writes, too much rambling for my taste.
Ramble man.
I usually like the subject matter, but the hosts are all over the place. Too many other podcasts out there that get to the point and stick.
This reminds me of a thing that.
Yeah, I get that. Absolutely. Lots of rambling. And I actually,
it's just a style.
I actually I don't like that we do that too, because, you know, we sit down and record these podcasts,
right.
and I usually estimate, I'm like, okay, we have five topics we have to get to in an hour, and inevitably we'll get to 1.5 topics. And it's bothersome to me because I do all this prep and then we don't even get to these other topics. And so I feel your pain. I'm with you on that one. We ramble too much.
It's just, honestly, it's a style. Like, the things I like, yeah, maybe it's also the way people use it or whatever. I'm often very frustrated that I don't have long form things to listen to. And I think the answer is that I should get more on podcasts, because the YouTube channels I listen to, they're usually very short. But then some have like these hour long things. And I love those because I could sit there and just have it running and I can literally go for a run or something, you know? And I actually like when they skirt around things, they dive into for a little bit so some of my favorite channels do that. Like Joe Rogan's podcast is an example of where he's got a guest, and you know, like the other day I was listening to him with Aerosmith, Steven Tyler. And they went all over the, at one point they were talking about aliens and they were talking about like civilizations a million years ago. I found it totally fascinating, right? And that's a style.
Yeah.
And there's another style where it's very focused, very dedicated about one topic, and that's what you do. And then
and I get that, you know, like if I wasn't into the rambly style, or I wasn't interested in the ramblings of the podcasters, I get that. There's podcasts that I have a similar complaint about. I wouldn't give them a 1-star review. I would just assume that they have a dedicated following that actually likes that kind of thing.
Oh, and that's actually right. Like, look, if we didn't have anyone that appreciated this, we may not be doing it still, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if people notice this on the podcast, but I try to get into the topic right away. Like, one of the things I hate about some podcasts is that they'll put their business in the beginning, you know? They'll be like, so we have a show coming up. And then they'll be like, what did you do yesterday? You know, they'll have their banter at the beginning and it'll go on for 15 minutes. And then, you know, a ways in, they're like, okay, today.
Let's talk about the topic.
Today we're reviewing the new Star Wars movie. And it's like, you know, put that at the end, because one, I might fall in love with you through the content and then I'll listen to your banter later. Or at the very least, like, maybe I don't need to listen to your banter. I want to get to the whole reason why you made this episode was because you want to talk about this particular topic. And so for me, I launch right fucking into the topic.
Yeah. Even before we introduce the podcast.
Right. Like, I'm just like, you know, boom, you know. And so so I try to account for that. I also have minimal music especially because podcasts, I listen to every episode, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so if there's a musical introduction, even if it's a really short song.
A minute long.
even if it's just like 15 seconds, like by the 100th time I hear it, I'm like, ugh, get to the topic. I'm not interested in this little tune anymore, you know?
Yeah, it's like if you're binge watching Game of Thrones, hey, that intro is awesome.
Yeah.
But every single episode has it.
Dun, so then, dun, da, da, dun,
so you're like, oh, okay. I got it.
Right. Totally. Exactly. So, and Netflix will have this option, like skip intro. Because it's like, okay, the first 30 times I saw it, it's fine. But now let's move forward.
Right.
L. Blown Apart from the U.S. writes, So the episode I downloaded wasn't a real episode. It was just an advertisement.
Here we go, yes.
Really? Okay. Slave to the Rhythm from the United States writes, stunning waste of time.
Stunning. I love it.
Yeah. So
see,
it's poetic.
This one I like.
Yeah.
I like.
Poetic, yeah.
Stunning.
I tried to listen to the Brock Turner episode in hopes of hearing some discussion of the psychology of that type of sexual predator. The first 20 minutes was literally just a rehash of the press clippings of the story with no discussion or analysis. I had to turn it off. Very undisciplined podcast presentation. I won't be back. Ain't nobody got time for that.
All right.
Okay. Again, I don't think that deserves a one-star review. It's just the style of podcast. And for sure, if you're like, oh, because the podcast was probably called like Psychology of Brock Turner or something, or I don't know, The Case of Brock Turner. And if you already know the case and you're like, okay, right, what does this therapist have to say? And you're like, oh crap, he has 20 minutes of explaining to people what the story is. Yeah, I could see that being annoying. I don't think that deserves a one-star review, but it's right, a free country.
You know what you could do in the future? You might do this in some cases. I've seen this happen in some of the channels I follow. It's like, hey, I'm going to give an overview of the thing. If you already know, skip to such and such time.
Yeah, people have been asked, or a few people asked for that. They'll be like, it'd be great if you had chapter, like, you know, points. Like, this is when I talk about this. And I have to say, there are so many different steps to making these podcasts that to add that step would probably push me into insanity. I mean, I don't think people understand, or maybe they do, the amount of steps I have to go through to make an episode. You know, I get the impression that people are just like, well, you just sit down, record, you know, post it, big deal. Like, no, I have, for each episode, I probably have to go through 45 minutes minimum of just like computer shit to like go through all the steps to like put it on all the various sites and clean up the audio. And
so every step you add adds a lot.
Right. And so to add a step of like, what I would have to do is I'd have to go back and listen to the entire episode, one, and then make those marks of like where the chapter points are, and two, I would then have to record into the episode where those chapter points are, because I have no idea where the chapter points are going to land. You know, I don't know how long exactly something's going
to
take.
Yeah, so maybe it'd be more like, if you don't want to listen to, skip to the next chapter point or something.
Yeah, like it would really, and to have to do that for every episode, I swear to God, I'd kill myself. Like it is. There are so many annoying steps to this podcast, and it's just me by myself.
And it, you know, like it's just if you don't enjoy the layout, the presentation, you have two options. One is you can skip ahead. If you don't want to skip ahead, just don't listen to it.
Yeah, yeah. And with the Brock Turner episode, what I found, most people, including myself, they understood extremely little about the actual case. Like they had heard that he had raped this woman behind a dumpster and had gotten off with, you know, just a few months of jail time or something.
This is a long form podcast. The YouTube channels I listen to, they have short form presentation, but even in there, when they present a topic, they give the background and then they go into it.
Right.
'Cause if you don't give the background, I mean, actually, if anything, I would fault us that a lot of times we dive into things and we maybe don't spend enough time giving the background.
Yeah. And so, I get it. If you were tuning into that episode looking for a real, you know, quick, right from the start analysis and not background, yeah, I could see how it would bother you. But, you know, I just don't think it's fair to rate the entire. I wish they could rate episodes. You know, they go like, this episode
that's
I hated.
True. That's fair.
Like, but on iTunes, you only rate the entire.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
I guess it could go both ways. Like, someone could like one episode and give us a 5-star review. Anyway.
Yeah.
AGC7245 from Australia writes, "Ignorance and arrogance. Wow, I wish people would realize that having a right to an opinion and having a right to an informed opinion are different things!" Exclamation point. I can't believe the arrogance of feeling like you need to share your opinion on a public podcast. Wish I could give it 0 stars.
Well said. Everyone's
sure.
got an opinion, don't they?
Well, okay. So if someone is saying that I might say ignorant things, absolutely. I try to caveat such moments that I'm talking out of my ass or it's not my area of expertise, or at least I would hope it's clear from the way I'm saying it that obviously I don't know everything, and there are certain things that I know a lot about, but not everything, and there are a lot of things I know a little bit about. And can I come across as arrogant? Sure, I could absolutely see that too. It's, you know, part of my narcissism spectrum to come across like I'm like I really know what I'm talking about. I mean, like when I graduated with my master's degree, I'll never forget this. I was saying goodbye to my classmates. It was a formalized goodbye, you know, that the professor and the students and everyone were like saying goodbye to me. I think we were saying goodbye to each other. And we were all going around kind of like commenting on what we thought of each other. Mm-hmm. And you know, people were saying nice things about me and saying goodbye and we'll miss you. And I was saying nice things about them and I'm going to miss them. But the theme, one of the themes that really surprised me and it hit me like a ton of bricks was everyone said some version of, Kirk, you just seem so like, they didn't say arrogant, but they said, you just seem like you're so confident or something.
Okay.
Something along those lines. It wasn't a mean thing. It was a nice or a neutral statement. You know, it's like, man, you just seem like you really got it together.
Yeah.
Like you're really just confident. For context, I was 26 years old and was not confident. I did not feel together. I felt completely inadequate compared to my classmates who were universally older, more mature, more experienced than I was. And I was so surprised by that. And, you know, so because of my defensive structure, I give off this vibe like, I've got it all together. I know everything.
Right.
Everything's fine. And that's me, I guess, reflexively just trying to trick everyone into believing that I know what's going on. And therefore, hopefully, you will think that I'm right, I guess. Yeah. But I absolutely understand my ignorance and my foibles and my biases and my mistakes. And so if I come across as arrogant, which I'm sure I do at times, I apologize. That's got to be annoying. And I'm sorry.
That's very nice. But there was an interesting little tidbit in that sentence. Because if you reread it...
Right. I wish people would realize that having a right to an opinion and having a right to an informed opinion are different things.
Right. And then...
And I can't believe the arrogance of feeling like you need to share your opinion on a public podcast.
And say the last piece.
Wish I could give it 0 stars.
Yeah. So basically... The real frustration for this person is that he's like, I can't believe you have a voice here.
Right.
Like, it's not just that I disagree with your opinions or your points or whatever. I'm angry because you have a voice. Like, the arrogance that you should have this podcast.
Right.
That's a little funny.
I mean, so, you know, legitimately, I agree that I can be arrogant and... can come across like I know everything.
But it's a public forum.
But when I read a sentence like, I can't believe the arrogance of feeling like you need to share your opinion on a public podcast.
It's a public podcast.
Yeah, it's a narcissist.
It's a public forum.
Well, I wouldn't even say public. I would say it's something that you choose to download. You know,
what I'm saying is like the internet is an open forum, at least for now.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah. But it's also something that, but public forum implies like I'm standing in a public square and I'm shouting.
You're right. It's even less than that.
Right.
You're dumping it into a hole, hoping someone comes and picks it up.
Well, I'm in a public square in a soundproof room.
Yeah.
And you can either come into the room or you can just shut the door and never have to hear me, you know?
Right, right.
So anyway, Meesh 346365 Australia says, missing out. I was really excited and downloaded a heap of these podcasts, only to find halfway through I needed to become a patron. Yeah, I get it. I'm sorry. Yeah,
that complaint, I think, is understandable.
Yeah, and the person says, I can't afford to pledge, and so I feel really let down. Okay.
But there's other episodes. Yeah. A lot.
I know, most. Okay. Lily May 5, United States. I only listened to two episodes. One was recapping the microaggression. There is a lot of words like should, ignorant. People are listening to better themselves. This is counterproductive to growth. Okay, sure. In the episode I made about microaggressions, might I have been a little hot under the collar and a little too strong with my shoulds and my attacks on people that, you know, among all of us that actually commit microaggressions, I could see that. And is that counterproductive of growth? I agree with you. So
good criticism.
Yeah. NJSTL Australia writes, not sure if this is for every episode. It's a shame the podcast is restricting episodes to loyal listeners.
Anyway, all right, here we go.
Yeah. So, yeah, again, I get that. So those are all the 1-star reviews.
That's it?
Yeah.
Wait, only one of them threw me under the bus?
Yeah.
Well, I think we're doing great then.
I like how it's focused on that.
It's all me, man. as long as my shit is clean, I'm fine.
people call me arrogant and disorganized and condescending.
Yeah, but that's true.
So, Berto, what's the final word on 1-star iTunes reviews?
I think it's good every now and then to look at your worst detractors and try to understand them. In this case, I failed to understand most of them, but there were some good points made.
Sure.
And so I think I think what we should do some other time is listen to more measured criticisms, like how about some 3-star reviews? How about some 2-star reviews?
I didn't tell you this, but some of those are 3-star reviews, I just remembered.
Oh, okay.
So that might be some of the weirdness in that. I wanted to read as a closer, patron Sarah wrote in and basically left a review, but she wrote in and she said, a big thank you to Umberto for disclosing so much about his own abuse and his own behaviors. This is the episode titled Woman on Woman Sexual Abuse, in which Umberto, which we went down a tangent, actually, of Umberto talking about his path of being victimized and also
victimizing.
Yeah. It takes a tremendous amount of courage to talk about that publicly. I'll agree with that. Mm. I think these days it's very hard for people to see another side of the story, and Umberto probably helped a lot of people to do so. I remember in one podcast you apologized for your foul language because someone complained. But you shouldn't. I love it when you rant and tell everyone to fuck themselves.
Fuck yeah! America! Fuck yeah!
It seriously made me laugh and grin like an idiot. I mean, have I ever told everyone to go fuck themselves?
I'm sure you have. Like, we've done this so many times. I'm surprised it's not 90% of the episodes.
Yeah.
That'd be a great closing catchphrase. You know, take care of yourself because fuck yourself.
Yeah. Well, that does it for another episode. Go fuck yourself. I grew up in a world in which swearing was really strange. Like in my family, up until the time I was in my 30s, I had heard my parents each swear once, and it was at the same time. The 6 people in my family had walked into the house. We, you know, came home from going out to a movie or dinner or something, and we all file into the house, and we all look to our right, and our dog had vomited on every single cushion. There were piles of vomit. Now, you know, of course, feel terrible for the dog, but why was one, the dog knows she's not supposed to be on the couches.
Right.
Two, it's like, oh, she must get on the couch when we're not home.
Right.
Three, she vomited
on everyone.
Yeah. And so
they go,
so my mom says, So my dad says, "What the hell?" And my mom says, "That damn dog."
Wait, that was the...
Yeah.
That was the bad words?
That was it. So...
Oh. Oh my gosh. I was expecting like, motherfucker!
No. So swearing for me growing up was very strange.
Okay.
Entering college, I had a, you know, very tight-knit group of guy friends and some girls in our group. And we developed an extremely crass way of talking.
Sure.
And I'm still friends with a lot of those people. Lita actually was in that group. And we swore a lot. And since that time, I haven't ever really been in a professional situation where I couldn't swear. Like, as a therapist, I can swear. And, you know, as a family therapist who would work with teenagers, like, one of the ways I could actually, like, disarm kids and make them feel comfortable was to swear.
Ah.
You know, just be like, you know,
what the fuck you been up to?
Yeah, just, and then they'd be like, oh, wow, this guy isn't a teacher. He's not a parent.
Right.
You know, because I really needed my kid clients to understand, like, I'm not a teacher.
Like, I'm with it. I'm lit.
Yeah. I'm not an authority, you know what
right.
I mean? And a very fast track to do that is to be myself, which is to swear. Working at Antioch as a professor, swearing is totally allowed. You know, it's not bad decorum. You know, I made a 69 joke the other day in a staff meeting and got a huge laugh, which I...
69,
As I was saying it, I was like, oh, man, why am I making a 69 joke?
No.
But everyone laughed, and I was like, oh, thank God. And it was with a lot of people that I didn't know very well, and I was like, oh, Kirk, you're just... You know. So anyway, I have a habit, and I sometimes hear from... I haven't heard from a podcast listener in a long time, actually, about the swearing. But I occasionally will hear it from students. They'll actually say in the reviews of me, they'll say like, they'll be like I had one student this past quarter that was like,
swears a lot.
Yeah, we could probably tone down the F-bombs. And so I've been trying.
I see.
Because I think I can take it too far. Like, I feel like you don't take it too far. Like, when you don't swear actually very often.
Not normally.
But I had a
similar thing where I didn't swear much at all. And I remember in sixth grade, me and my friend Juan Miguel, we'd talk about how the older kids in the school, they're like, why do they swear so much? Yeah. And then we were like, we're never going to be like that. That's horrible. And then like fast forward to eighth grade and ninth grade. And we're like, mariconi, hueputa, blah, blah, blah. Like, we were just like referring to each other by all the worst names at all times.
Yeah.
It was like ridiculous, the curb.
Yeah.
But eventually I chilled out a bit. Nowadays I don't cuss all the time.
Yeah. And even around kids in my family, like, swearing isn't a taboo topic. I mean, even among with my siblings as well. Mm. Like, we all in my family just decided, like, it's just not... There's a lot of things to guide children around. Mm-hmm. And let's say swearing is not one. Let's not add that to the list. Like,
okay.
there's a lot of other things we want to model for our kids, you know, being nice to each other, sharing, how to talk about your feelings.
Right.
Let's not add one more unnecessary thing, like over genderizing things and making swearing like this really horrible thing, you know? So I don't know what to say about that. Other than this is the end of the episode and go fuck yourself because
you deserve it.